Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you. Today, we are thankful for all our sponsors, but our sponsor today is Will's Transfer Limited. Will's Transfer has been serving the warehousing and logistical needs of Ontario and Western Quebec since 1945. At Will's Transfer Limited, we value the good news of the gospel being shared weekly on this radio station and by podcast around the world. We are delighted to support Good News Christian Ministries. We believe that people matter, and hearing the good news of salvation will bring all of us a blessing. We believe people will be encouraged to do the right thing and live in honesty, integrity, and fairness, Christian values we believe in. Well, thank you very much, Will's Transfer, for those supportive words as well as the sponsorship of today's program. Today, I want to help you to learn how to meet God in Scripture, how to actually encounter God as you study His Word and think about what He's written for our encouragement and edification. So the Scripture that I'm going to use is from the Psalms. It's Psalm number 19, and it really covers an example of David, the psalmist, encountering God in a time of prayer. So let's listen to Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The command of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is a beautiful psalm. It's encouraging and uplifting. It brings joy to your heart as you read it and think about it. And it is also, like all of Scripture, one of the passages here in which you can meet God in your daily time with God. So we'll spend some time in this psalm in a few moments, but let's listen to a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman and his son Caleb Chapman from the album Deep Roots, in which they give us this good bit of advice: be still and know that I am God. Let's listen to it together.
Thank you. is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed. And know that He will never change. Be still. Be still. And know that He is God. Be still.
We can meet God as we read the Scriptures. I say this because this is the way God has given us to know Him better. But I also emphasize that we can meet God because we can study the Scriptures and not meet God if we are not paying attention to what the Scriptures are really about. Jesus spoke one time about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the doctors of the law. He said that they studied Scripture, hoping that in them they would find life. But the Scriptures speak of Jesus, he said. They speak of me, he said. And they were searching the Scriptures, but not finding God. Do you read your Scriptures regularly? I mean, the Bible is a big book, and most Christians seek to know God better through reading the Scripture on a regular basis. It's not always the case, but it's really unfortunate when people don't read the Scriptures regularly. They may have understood some of the basic things about God, but without the daily reminder and the continuing addition of understanding, their relationship with God can become very superficial, and their understanding of what God wants them to do in their life can even become dangerously superficial. So that they don't do the things that help them to maintain their faith, maintain their love, and maintain their joy in the Lord. And they do things which draw them away from God, even to the point sometimes where they give up on God entirely, because they haven't known what to expect from God, haven't known Him deeply and fully. Now, last week in the message, I spoke that we can know God fully. We can know God sufficiently. We can know God very, very intimately. But reading Scripture alone, just being filled with information about God, is not the same as knowing God. It's experiential as well as informational. It's transformational as well as informational. So the reading of Scriptures is important, but often becomes dry in people's experience if they're not meeting with God when they read the Scriptures. So I'd like to ask you a different question. Do you meet with God on a regular basis? When you're reading the Scriptures, do you Do you feel the Holy Spirit bringing the Scriptures to life for you? Do you experience God helping you understand His Word and helping you to see Him in your heart and see Him more clearly? Many people call the regular reading of Scripture and a time of prayer their devotions, because these activities are intended to be an expression of our devotion to God and a deepening of our devotion to God. But sometimes devotions just become duty, just become something we do because somebody said we should do it and it should help us along the way. I remember talking to a young Christian who had, as a child, been in Scripture memory courses and learned books of the Bible by heart. And he said, but it didn't help me. It hasn't helped me to know God. I thought, oh my goodness, isn't that interesting that you can even have Scripture memorized, but if somebody hasn't helped you understand how to meet God in the reading of Scripture and in your times of prayer, how empty those Scriptures can be. It's a book without purpose if it doesn't lead you to God. So when you're doing your devotions, are you turning your heart to God? Are you waiting expectantly for God? Are you doing the things that are going to help make this devotional time fruitful and productive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus? There's many things we can do that, and I've been delighted to be hearing so much testimony in my own congregation as we've taken more time week by week to talk about what we've been learning in our daily devotions. Some of them have started using a daily Bible app on their phone or on their tablet or on their computer to get a verse every day that they study. Others are using little devotional booklets like Daily Bread or Upper Room so they have something to think about as they read the Scriptures. And others are starting on a program of reading different sections of the Bible and trying to read the Psalms and get to know the letters of Paul or read through the entire Bible in a year. They are getting excited as day by day God teaches them new things. I know from my own experience that you don't necessarily get something rich out of every time you go to God in Scriptures and in prayer, but my congregation is experiencing over and over again the fruit and the benefit of coming close to God through their regular habits of drawing near. You see, they've understood that they can use different tools and different helps to guide them through Scriptures. They can use the wisdom that is in each one of them as they share together, as they hold each other accountable, as they reflect on each other's experiences and ask questions and dig a little deeper into those experiences and into the Scriptures that they've been learning. It's amazing that sometimes God takes a single verse that they've looked at in the morning and uses it throughout the day to remind them of something that they really needed in their interactions with other people. They are finding the Scripture is a living and active word, just as the Bible itself testifies. They are finding in their experience that God is walking with them and teaching them as a life coach, as a father, as a Lord. They have a great friendship developing with God as they regularly read their Scriptures. They're doing it together. Husbands and wives, parents and children, they're doing it together in groups. They're doing it together and discovering that God is present whenever two or three are gathered. And so they're learning so much about Scripture by this practice, and more importantly, they are meeting with God regularly, getting to know God personally, and getting to lean on Him, learning to trust Him, and learning to obey Him as they live out their daily lives. This is an experience and a possibility for each one of us, and I'm going to speak more about how we can take this Psalm 19 as an example of meeting God in Scripture. But we'll do that after we hear George Beverly Shea speak about the beautiful garden of prayer in the song from his album, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And let's listen to that now.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For it glows with the light of his presence. 'Tis the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and he opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting,
and he bids you. My Savior awaits, and he opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer.
To the beautiful garden of prayer.
As we meet with God in the garden of prayer, we can bring Scripture and understand that God is showing us how to meet him in Scripture. The Psalms are a wonderful example of God teaching us to draw near to him through the words of Scripture. And Psalm 19 is a particularly good one. You can see that David, first of all, is inspired by the world around him. He says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God. The skies are declaring his greatness." He's seeing the beauty and wonder of creation around him. I come to mind that piece of musical theater. I believe it's from Oliver Twist, when one of the ladies gets up in the morning. She's out in the marketplace and she sees people selling this and that, but she's looking at the beautiful blue sky, the bright sun, the warmth that she's feeling, the joy that is filling her heart, and she asks the question, "Who will buy this beautiful morning?" I think David has that feeling of joy and inspiration, just seeing a really, really good day. Many of you, I know, find a great deal of inspiration walking through the woods, walking through a park, just getting out in the fresh air and seeing the sunshine, seeing the green when we have green, which is not all that common right now in Ottawa. But whether it's the bright winter snow and the sparkling of ice, or whether it's the green of summer, or even the beautiful colors of autumn, there's inspiration in the world around us, which causes us to be filled with joy. Joy is a great place to start in your devotions. Joy is something that changes the way that our mind works. When we're down and out, when we're focusing on our anxieties and problems, our mind is not very receptive. We kind of, both physically and mentally, hide away from other people when we're down. We crawl into a corner, like an animal licking its wounds. And so the psalmist is starting in this psalm with joy, joy that opens him up to the presence of God, that helps him to see the world as it truly is. I take a great deal of effort sometimes getting to the place of joy when I'm praying. It's hard sometimes for me to be thankful. I'm probably not the only one who has that experience. But it's worth taking the effort to write down the things that have been going well, to note the things you've been thankful for. I've been starting, for the first time in my life, really, to keep a fairly regular journal of my prayer time and my scriptures. And I'm able to look back. If I'm having trouble today finding things to be glad about, I can look back through previous pages and find some things that I can rejoice in. I need reminders of joy. And maybe there are others out there listening to this broadcast who need that as well. The command in Scripture to rejoice in the Lord always can be a tough command, but it's worth doing. So the psalmist is filled with thanks, he's filled with joy, and then he continues with praise. He praises God by praising the Word of God. He speaks about the law of God, the statutes of God, the commands of God, the ordinances of God. He's talking about all the things that God has said in His Word. You know, the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew people didn't think only of the actual commands as the law of God. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, with the stories from Genesis, the tales of Abraham and his children, the stories of Exodus, getting set free from the slavery in Egypt and wandering through the wilderness, the stories of the conquest of the land, of being given a land by God, all these were part of God's law, God's Torah. And the writer is thinking about just how wonderful the whole testimony that God gives is. You know, we've got much more to praise God for because we have the New Testament as well as the Old. We have not only the Torah and the prophets and the writings, but we also have the Gospels of Jesus Christ, where we get to see God fully and perfectly revealed in His love and grace. We have the letters of Paul and Peter and James and John and others who are able to show us how to let the love of God be expressed in our daily living. We have much to praise God for in His Word, and recognizing that the Word is not just a bunch of information, but it is a living and active, beautiful expression of God's love for us. That praise is a great way of meeting God in Scripture. To be thankful for the commands of God. You know, sometimes the commands of God are difficult to obey, but we know that following them makes for a better life. And so we're thankful, even in the face of the hardship and the difficulty, that God has taken care to reveal things that are important to us, important to our well-being. So the psalmist has been giving thanks and he's been giving praise, considering the Word of God and the things that are already revealed by the Lord. He's understanding that there is a personal application to his life. He goes on to apply it not just as information, because the test of our knowledge of God is not in knowing information. It's not in being able to fill out an essay or a multiple choice questionnaire. The test of our knowledge of God is in living, in walking with Him. And so the psalmist comes to God and says, I'm thankful that I'm being warned by You, by Your law, because in keeping Your law, there is great reward. And then he realizes something about himself. He realizes that he needs God's help. He says, who can discern his own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep me also from willful sins so that they won't rule over me. And then I'll be blameless, innocent of great transgression. See, the psalmist is recognizing that the law that he's read has a personal application to his life. It's an invitation by God to come to him for the help that we need, in order to live out the love and the grace that He has intended for us from the beginning. We will get better at obeying that law, at living out that love. We will grow in character and strength. But it's through this encounter with God, in letting Scripture throw us onto the mercy of God, throw us into the arms of God as we read it and we go, oh Lord, help me to understand, help me to live it, help me to devote myself to living your way. The psalmist concludes the psalm by saying, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that's also my prayer today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in his sight. May you meet with God as you encounter him in Scripture and in prayer daily. Let's turn to God in prayer now. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for all the goodness you have shown us, for the way you've enabled us to meet you through your word, your living word, and we pray that we would be drawn to you daily, more than daily, constantly drawn to you, to learn from you and to walk with you. For the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As we conclude our broadcast today, I hope you'll enjoy listening to the song of praise to God, How Majestic Is Your Name, sung by the Maranatha Praise Band. Thank you again for listening today.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.